141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for the return of the Scottish Premiership after the international break. Rangers go first and can go top for the first time this season if they beat Dundee United at home. Then over to leaders Hearts to respond and reclaim the top spot they've had for so long. And finally Celtic away to Dundee, with Martin O'Neill admitting they're going to have to be perfect from now until the end of the season. And that doesn't even cover the picture at the bottom. The race for Europe and Stephen Robinson's return to Paisley. What more could you want in the company of Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans?
This is the weekend where we all get a fit of amateur psychology. The Rangers have the mentality to go top of the league for the first time in 2 years when they play a Dundee United side who could still make the top six. And if Rangers do go top, the Hearts have the mentality to regain the top spot they've held for 6 months when they play Livy, fighting for their survival. And if Hearts go top, the Celtic have the mentality to do anything, about anything, against Dundee when Martin O'Neill says it's win or goodbye to the title.
We've not got Tesco Bride yet, but we'll get to them. What about the top of the top flight first and everything else the Premiership brings back with it? How good is this going to be?
Oh, incredible. And the onus is always on Rangers at home. Home game against Dundee United. Dundee United still got something to play for off the back of a really good result against Celtic. But Rangers have to win that to go top of the league. Obviously, Hearts been tops in Sotham. They then go to Livingston against Marvin Bartley. That Hibs connection, will he be fired up? How he's still fighting for their lives down there, Livingston? And we'll finish at Dens Park. We're looking at that game just now and how Dundee have been this season. Celtic, so uninspiring at times, that could be anything. So what a weekend we have in store.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. How are you all feeling about this title race as we get set to resume and go full steam ahead from now until the end of the season? You all know the permutations outlined there by Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. So Rangers fans, will you get the job done tomorrow? Is that significant? Because of course it is, potentially just for a day, when Hearts get the chance to respond and reclaim top spot. But as Hugh alluded to, it's been 2 years since you could even say you were top for any length of time. So how significant is that opportunity? How important do you think it is? Or maybe you don't. Maybe you're happy to wait and bide your time and predict that you will get there come the end of the season. There is a mystery man out for Rangers this weekend and probably next week, according to Danny Rule. We don't quite know who that is. But you can get your thoughts in on what the team should look like and so on. And if you think there are any chances that Dundee United come and spoil that opportunity, because they've been good against Rangers this season. Hearts fans, all this talk about Rangers having this momentum and the chance to go top, is that getting your back up? You are still top. Yes, it could change for a bit tomorrow, but you've been there for a long, long time. So what are you thinking now as you head into this one, presumably with a fitter Lauren Shankland and a fitter Cammy Devlin back in amongst the team as well? All your thoughts there. And Celtic fans, Martin O'Neill talking about having to be perfect from now until the end of the season. Do you agree with that? And do you think you can do that? Because clearly there is a long road ahead to try and reclaim that title. How are you feeling about it? Give us your thoughts. 0141 951 1025. What sort of reaction will Stephen Robinson get in Paisley? Motherwell up against Falkirk, who've been a sticky opponent for you this season. There is loads to love about this weekend. So get your calls in right now, please, on 0141 951 1025.
I always work on the assumption that if you paid your money to get in, you can boo who you like, as long as you keep it within the parameters of decency. So if Stephen Robinson gets it tight from the St Mirren crowd, that's football. As for the championship, who'll win it? I said Rangers will get it in the end. I think Hearts will lose important games. They're not 100% certain to beat Livy, I don't think. Remember, Rangers were 2 down at Livy a few weeks ago, managed to get a draw. And as for Celtic, I know what Martin O'Neill's saying, but I don't believe that Celtic have the players who could win the title. It's not about momentum, it's not about post-split. They simply don't have a good enough team.
Well, that's Hugh's assessment, but what's yours more importantly? 0141 951 1025. There's loads to get through this weekend. Really, really looking forward to it, because really, although the post-split fixtures aren't out, they signify the real final chapter, Scott. It does always feel like once this last international break, we've got a wee wobble in with the cup and things quiet down around that weekend. But really, from now to the end of the season, every point's a prisoner.
It really is. This is the business end of the season, and this is where teams over the course of a season, if they can put a run together, not necessarily performances, but a run together, guys getting on the score sheet and defending well, defending their box really well, then they put themselves in the driving seat. This is just so hard to predict. I think in other years gone by, you've looked at teams and went, they have a far better squad than others. I just don't feel like it's like that this year. And ultimately, I genuinely do think we're going week to week. Anything is possible. Dundee could and potentially could beat Celtic, and I don't think anybody would actually be surprised at that on Sunday. Livingston could surprise Hearts.
Everybody's mood can change. It only takes one result, doesn't it? Let's just say, because it's not, look, everybody's going to think Rangers are favourites to beat Dundee United for sure, but we're not talking an Easter miracle for Dundee United to go and grind out a draw, or Rangers have an off day, or whatever combination of factors can point to that. And then everybody on Monday night will phone this show and go, that Rangers bottle, that was the big chance. Yeah. That's how good it is, Hugh. That's how delicate you're talking here. One 90 minute performance can change everybody's perception of things.
It's the subplots that are intriguing. When Rangers play Dundee United, there are 6 points between Falkirk and Dundee United. There are two games to go before the split. If Motherwell beat Falkirk, and then realise that Motherwell haven't beaten Falkirk this season, but if they do, and Dundee United won at Ibrox, then they have one more game in which to get into the top six. And Livy looked dead and buried. However, I repeat, Rangers were two down at Livy a few weeks ago. So Hearts can't assume anything. And when Celtic go to Dundee, they were there a fortnight ago, they were appalling. The supporters were outraged, and inwardly, the Celtic supporters, I don't think, are looking forward to Dundee on Sunday.
Well, let's hear from Martin O'Neill whilst you get your calls in. He thinks Celtic's title chances could be all but over if they fail to beat Dundee on Sunday. However, he does believe they're capable of putting together a near flawless run from now to the end of the season.
Again, I would imagine, really, you're probably right. I think that we started to drop a lot of points there, either two in a draw or a defeat. I think with the games running out, that would be a difficult comeback from there. Not impossible, but I think, yeah.
Do you have the belief that this squad is capable of going on a flawless or a near flawless run between now and then?
Oh, I think that's, yeah. I think that we have the belief, yes. Do I have the belief in the team? I think we absolutely. Do the team have belief in themselves? I think as well. Yeah, we had a setback. The teams in and around us have had setbacks this in recent times, I must admit. So we just got to put it to the side, get ourselves really geared up for the game, and be ready for a very, very strong match.
Robbie is a Celtic fan. Can you go flawless or near flawless, Robbie?
Good evening, Gordon. I'll just make the point to Hugh Keevan's first on Martin O'Neill as a manager, and the second one I'll make to Scott Allen, just about the players that I've liked this season, the ones I'm not too keen on. I'll make that point second to Scott. Hi, Hugh. Martin O'Neill over two spells, I know it's a results-driven business, that's quite clear. At the end of the day, Hugh, I've noticed, and I think you'll probably agree, just before his first spell and recently, obviously the Hibs game, and there was other games round about that period as well, Hugh, that the team doesn't create a lot of chances, Hugh. I think that I'm just trying to be fair here. As much as Martin O'Neill's had his hands tied, right, he's dealt with the players that he's been in his first spell, the players that were there, the players that brought him in January, Hugh. I think that at the end of the day, as much as it's a result-driven business, there's been a couple of defeats recently to Hibs and Dundee at home and Dundee United away. I think, Hugh, this team could be doing better than it is. I've heard Celtic fans saying, and I think they're right for all over the 90 minutes of each performance, most games, this team doesn't even look coached. Honestly, they're playing the long ball up. First of all, Hugh, do you watch Celtic every week, Hugh? Do you watch 90 minutes? I don't know if you do, if you just watch highlights, but it's got to be guys that are watching them every week for 90 minutes. Do you think Martin O'Neill's getting away with one here, Hugh? As much as I think he's came in He's got a whole experience. He's got his coaches behind him. But I think they could be playing better football, Hugh. What do you think?
That's a fairly hefty accusation. Is Martin O'Neill getting away with one? That implies that Martin O'Neill is not quite up to the job. I think Martin O'Neill has done a terrific job pre-Wilfred Nancy, post-Wilfred Nancy. The reason why Celtic get bad results is because the team is in decline, to my way of thinking, severe decline because of neglect.
Is any manager ever truly immune, though, from criticism? Is that not the point, you know, of kind of having all that responsibility? How can Martin O'Neill be exempt from some of this?
I don't think he's asking to be made exempt. I'm just, you know, Robbie used the phrase getting away with one. I think Martin O'Neill, given the circumstances, has done a good job.
Could he have done better, Hugh?
I don't think he could have done better, Scott, for one simple reason. I repeat, it's a team in severe decline because of neglect. The transfer windows have been appalling. He's stuck with a bunch of deadwood.
Is it still a better squad than Dundee United's, though? Because that's the bit that fans like Robbie would say you've got to have a bit of sort of accountability there.
I'm not trying to get Martin off the accountability charge. Of course, if he loses a game, then, and two, Robbie mentioned Hibs and Dundee United, but the overall situation at Celtic Park is that the club has fallen into steep decline because of neglect and because of the appointment of Wilfred Nancy and transfer windows that are laughable. And that's why Celtic have no chance whatsoever of winning the league, because they don't have a team that's capable of winning the league.
But Robbie, you think this squad, even though it is in decline, you think it's capable of more? You think Martin O'Neill should get more out of it?
Just to reply on what Hugh says, Hugh's quite right for what he says, but just to be accurate, what I say is I did say it's a results-driven business. So Hugh could turn around to me and say, Robbie, what's the results been? He's only lost what, two games or three games. I got that. I get that, and I did put that to Hugh. I'm no disagreeing with Hugh, waiting for argument with Hugh. I hardly ever argue with Hugh anyway, but I'm just saying I wasn't too hard on him. What I meant by is he getting away with one is exactly what you say, Gordon. What I meant was he's done a great job, right? But I think he could be getting a wee bit better at the players, because the identity of the team, and I think Scott Allen will agree with me.
I do agree.
On a game-to-game basis, they look miles away for the team. The team, most of that team are still under Brendan Rodgers and under Ange. Most of that team, you can go right through the defence, for Scales, to right into the midfield with Hatate and McGregor. Right through that team, they were a football-based team. They had the ball on the deck, and they put pressure on, getting the ball out wide, getting it through the midfield, and that's all changed now. That has all changed. You can look at Ibrox, booting the ball for it, 100 mile an hour, all these kicks up the park. They're getting away from playing the football. Scott Allen, would you agree with me? That, I'm not saying that he's not done a good job, but he's not immune for criticism, Scott. Definitely. What do you think?
No, I would agree with with your observations and how they're playing. I don't think they're playing the kind of football you'd associate with Celtic over the last few years. I think you made a good point. Some of the players that are in the midfield, McGregor, Hatate, they have been a part of really good Celtic football inside, who play from the back. They obviously suck the opponent out, and then they work the ball wide and you get your 1v1s. The problem you do have, though, when they have played that way, is the guys now in the areas who are being asked to get at defenders and go buy somebody 1-1 and have an end product, they're nowhere near the quality which they've had over recent times. But I totally agree. I think definitely against Dundee United, I know the pitch played a part in it for how Celtic will say they wanted to play. I thought they took the easy option, and that's to turn it. Once it becomes a game like that, I think even a team like Dundee United, they're better at that sort of game when it's second balls up against your opponent. Celtic don't have the players to do that. So for me, if plan A was better, as in the build, playing through, controlling the game, but at the same time carrying a threat, then Celtic would be playing better football, better performance, and I think overall have better performances. But for me, I think that's a fair question that you do ask. And I wouldn't put that in Martin Neal as such. I think he's obviously brought in younger coaches to then implement certain things. I think so we can't just direct the blame at Martin Neal. I think you've got to direct it as a staff, as a whole, because Martin Neal is obviously the guy who's leading the line from the interviews and all the stuff that you see. on the training pitch, that will be down to all the guys that are in there.
Martha and I was brought in for a salvage operation. Yeah. First of all, when Brendan Rodgers left, he's asked to hold everything together, and he does, and he reduces the gap between Celtic and Hearts at the top of the league. Celtic then commit the biggest mistake of the club's history by appointing Wilfred Nancy. Martin O'Neill has to come in and again try to wipe up the mess left by Wilfred Nancy. To cut him a bit of slack, and I've said I'm not here to dissuade people from making Martin O'Neill accountable for anything, but no Carter Vickers, no Jota, no Alistair Johnson. Transfer windows that leave Celtic with people like Adamu and Mvuka and even Svanchara.
Who takes the responsibility then for January's transfers?
Well, the January transfer window, no one at Celtic Park, there is no transparency at Celtic, so no one knows who's bringing players in or who's doing what.
I think Martin O'Neill said, by the way, that this doesn't mean hands weren't tied and it wasn't a bit chaotic and they weren't behind in preparation because of Wilfred Nancy, but I'm sure he said during the break that he would have the final say on these things as managers should.
If that's the case, he's lost all sense of judgment if people like Mvuka and Adamu and Balakwisha are ending up at Celtic Park.
Robbie, thank you very much. That was Robbie on 01419511025. Why not give us a call? It's the perfect time to do so, and we'll speak to you next.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Evans are here. It's 01419511025. That's the number that you need. And a bit of extra incentive as well. And I know what you're thinking. Who could you possibly need an extra incentive to speak to Hugh Evans on a Friday night ahead of the return of the Scottish Premiership? But we're looking after you, because every caller who gets on air tonight, you're going to be entered into the draw to win a pair of tickets to Ladies Day at the Coral Scottish Grand National. We've been doing it all week. Air race course, Friday 17th of April. Gates open 11:45, right through to the last race at 5:15. So it's a proper day out. And air-racecourse.co.uk is where you can find out more information. But since it's Friday, we're chucking in a bit extra. So tonight, all you have to do, call, come through, make a point to the panel about whatever you want. Try and keep it loosely related to football. But we're going to give you Legends Lounge tickets as well. So they're worth £100. Table for the day, welcome drink, race card, entry to the Legends Lounge, views of the track and parade ring and all that stuff. So a really good day out. You do need to be over 18, and you can check out all the T's and C's at the website. So give us a call now, just like Josh has done. Josh, what are you thinking about this title race now as it resumes?
Right, Gordon.
What are you thinking?
Yeah, so listen, in terms of a psychological point of view, Scott, like, what dressing room this weekend would you rather be in? Would you rather be Rangers going first, putting the pressure on? Or would you rather be Celtic playing last, and you can see how the other teams have got on, you know, kind of lurking the grass and, you know, see what happens first? Like, would you rather put the marker down, Scott, or would you rather, like, you know, be on that periphery and observe things first?
No, I would be in Rangers camp, home game against Dundee United, go first. You know, if you get the job done, you can get the feet up for the rest of the weekend and watch the games live on Sunday.
I think the recent, let me find it, I had the stat, and so I appreciate I'm giving you half-baked information here, but it's not even just about the psychology. The results have backed up that the team that goes first is in the best position recently. Yeah. Let me find the exact number. But if you look at the ones that have dropped points, well, look at Celtic as a one-off in the last one. The team that goes first have managed, I think, to make a bit of an advantage in most of the
arithmetically,
recent weekends.
Arithmetically, Rangers go 5 points ahead of Celtic if they beat Dundee United tomorrow. Now, as I say, I don't think Celtic have any hope whatsoever of winning the league, but that's a bit of a gap to be having on your mind as you prepare to kick off after Hearts have been to Livy and may very well have won there as well. So you're 5 points behind Rangers. If you leave Dundee 5 points behind Rangers, Martin O'Neill is too wise to think anything other than, well, that's that then.
Yeah, these are quite small examples at the moment, but obviously Celtic last weekend brought up the rear. The weekend before, Celtic went first and got the win. Hearts were later that night against Kilmarnock and lost. I think if you go back over quite a few of these in recent times, the team that goes first does tend to win. I think the weekend before, at the end of February, Hearts went first, didn't they? They beat Aberdeen at home. Then it was the Old Firm the following day. Yep. So they both dropped points. Go back to the weekend before that. First up was Hearts again. They beat Falkirk. That was the weekend that Rangers and Celtic dropped points against Livy and Hibs the following day. So Josh, it pays to go first is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I've got a slightly different view. I know I've never played the game to any level. I've only ever observed it, but for me, I'd rather kind of see how the other teams do first me. You know, the same with like the league table. If you've got games in hand on the opposition and maybe a 3-point gap, I'd always rather have the games available rather than maybe like a little bit of a points advantage. It's just kind of me from a psychological point of view.
Josh, what makes you think Celtic are still in this conversation?
Well, mathematically, Hugh, they still are, aren't they? So as long as they're mathematically in there, me as a supporter, I've got to see it as that. There's still points to play for. You've got to play Hearts, you've got to play Rangers. They're the pivotal games. I think if Hearts beat Rangers and Celtic, I think that's it. But as long as the race is going, from a mathematical point of view, there's points to be won. There's an experienced manager in all the dugouts, so that's an interesting position as well with the managerial things. Celtic have got the perfect manager for a title battle for me. But then again, so have Hearts. And then Rangers have got someone who's kind of come in midway through the season and rescued it from the pitfalls that they were at the start of the season, where they were nowhere near a title race, did the Rangers, and now they're all of a sudden probably the favourites with the bookmakers. So
I don't mind Josh's theory, because he can't necessarily always measure this stuff and about psychology, and Josh is saying he'd prefer not to go first. You can sit back and observe, but the results contradict that in recent times. I'm going back further. The last weekend in January, and I'm not selecting these, I'm going back in order. The last weekend in January, Hearts beat Dundee United 3-0 on the Saturday night. Yes.
Yep.
And the first game, then the following day, Rangers went to Easter Road and dropped points. So it has been genuinely for quite a while this season the team that goes first. Now look, there can be reasons for that. You know, you can probably dig a bit deeper. You know the way TV picks work. So if you're at home at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, it's probably a home. Sorry, if you play at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, it's probably a home tie against a team you should beat. Whereas the TV games, you're one away from home the next day, where there's a bit of jeopardy involved. That's why the TV cameras turn up and pick it. So you know, it's not an exact science.
And
in recent times, the team that goes first has got the job done.
TV's got a double header on Sunday.
It does.
Hearts and Celtic, who between them have lost 10 away games this season. So there you are. They might be playing, Hearts might be playing Livy, but Marvin has got a stronger Livingston than the one he inherited. And Hearts have lost 5 times away from home. Likewise, Celtic, who have Stephen Presley's side, who have good players, and it's a real test of Celtic at Dens.
Thank you very much to Josh. He's in the hat for the tickets to Ayr Races. Let's hear a bit more from Martin O'Neill on his team's injury situation.
I think there was talk about Trusty, but I think he's going to be okay. But the problems that had been before the break are probably still there. Julian is still recuperating down at Bournemouth, and Arne has come back now. We'll see. Each day it's a good day for him. He's trained most of the week, but we'll just keep an eye on things at this minute. I couldn't rule him out or in for Sunday.
Do you know the extent of Julian Araujo's injury?
Yeah, it's a thigh.
Before the end of the season.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I do. I think he's doing fine in recovery, now. And so the physios are keeping in touch with the Bournemouth physios. Yeah, well, we expect to see him back.
These are all, you know, important issues up to a point, but you know, Celtic fans would just love to wake up and Jota's miraculously back or something like that, you know. It's whether this stuff moves the dial either way, we don't quite know Alistair Johnson yet. I noticed he was off doing his best Gary Lineker impression. He was hosting Canadian TV coverage, wasn't he, over at the break as well. So
they're simply not. I mean, Oraho probably lost to Celtic for the remainder of the season and possibly for all time.
I think Martin Neal thinks he's going to get him back at some point, he did say, but obviously I would acknowledge running out of time.
And there's no way that Ali Johnson's going to play at the weekend, and Arna Engels, you'd have to be very careful with him. Celtic are where they are at the moment, and they're short of good players who can't get in because of injury, and they're full of other players who shouldn't be there in the first place.
Davey's on the line. Davey, what are you thinking this weekend then?
Hey guys, I've missed the start of the show, so I'm just trying to catch up. I think the producer there, I think I must be sure, saying that Celtic have absolutely no chance. It's been swinging around a bit. If, in my opinion, if Celtic can go and get a result on Sunday, Hens Park, comes it back up again. Reason being, Celtic have got some mum at home next Saturday. Rangers, Wattie Falkirk, Hearts play Motherwell. Who's to say both three clubs don't drop points? Celtic at home is the door back up for Celtic. Bear in mind, St Rangers are still coming Parkhead.
That's the beauty of the programme. I can say one thing and you can utterly contradict every word of it, and that's what you've done, Davey. I just don't think Celtic have got the players. Seven games left. I don't think Celtic have the players who can sustain a run up to the final day of the season when the title might go to the wire. I just don't think they've got the players.
What do you think they're capable of, Davey? Because you're right, that doesn't seem like a far-fetched scenario, really, you know, when you put it that way. But then eventually it could swing back, as I'm sure you acknowledge. So Martin O'Neill's the one saying that Celtic will need to be nearly flawless or flawless. Do you think they can do that?
And to be perfectly honest, I'm not so sure. However, I don't think Rangers are capable of winning every game either, or Hearts. I think Hearts have got Motherwell twice, which is a big one. The one thing for me, I think the hardest game will be Motherwell. It'll be hard, but in particular Motherwell will be the hardest game.
The thing about Hearts, though, they don't need to win every game, do they? You know, they've got a wee cushion over you.
I understand that, though, but they'll still be coming to Parkhead. We go Easter Road. Still be playing. I'm saying they could twist and turn either way. I'm not saying Celtic. I'm saying Celtic. They're still in there. They're asking me, I'm not sure. I'm honestly not sure.
What if they don't win on Sunday, Davey?
I think it's all over for Celtic. That's what I'm saying. My point was that if they win on Sunday, it brings everybody back into contention, because they've got, I'm not saying it's slightly easier than Falkirk away for Rangers. Yeah. And Hearts and Motherwell.
On paper, yeah, you'd have to look at it that way. Because back to that stat that I think it came out, was it, you know, the first Monday after the last set of games, and it was a great one that only once have they all won the same weekend. That's ridiculous. It really is. You wonder how often that will continue. And I think because of the head-to-heads, because they're all obviously going to need to play each other, I think, what was it again, the most that, I think there's only three more. Is it three more chances? So basically what I'm trying to say is, come the end of the season, the most they'll have all won at the same time is four weekends. And that probably won't happen either, because somebody will slip up before then. It's incredible how much it has chopped and changed.
Yeah, all part of the drama. That's why everyone is fixated on this championship running, because it's been crazy from start to finish. You know, there is a possibility that Dundee United could go to Ibrox. I don't think they could win. They could get a draw. There is a possibility that Big Marv could get a draw against Hearts. That wouldn't be out with the realms of possibility. Yep. And, you know, Celtic could go to Dundee and be the polar opposite of the last visit to Dundee 2 weeks ago. That's why we're all fascinated.
The city of Dundee has been a problem for Celtic across three managers this season, is that right?
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers lost to Dundee.
Did something against that street all of a sudden.
Wilfred Doncy lost to Dundee United. Martin lost to Dundee United. So, I come back to the basic point. If I had the offer of Rangers squad or Celtic squad right now, I would take Rangers squad.
Davey, you still got belief in this Celtic squad? Because we're talking about Shanklin coming back and Devlin coming back for Hearts, and you know, who plays up front for Celtic this weekend, as an example? You know, some of those issues haven't just gone away, have they, because of the break?
Well, I've spoken to people about the forward line situation. I don't know if the boy Negrin doesn't offer enough in midfield. He's basically the only guy that's putting the ball in the butt of the net. I don't know if you put him top, somebody just off him. The wingers aren't performing. We've not really got a forward that's scoring, and Negrin's the top goal scorer.
And the second top goal scorer is Daizen Maeda, who's had a pretty awful season. But I've heard this argument about Benjamin Negrin before. He doesn't strike me as having the physicality.
Well, that's the thing, though, Hugh. If you're going to play a Negrin up front, then you're looking at him to drop off centre backs and make angled runs. Celtic don't build through the midfield the way they used to now. So, naturally, at times, if they're put under a bit of pressure, and they will be at Dens, and they have to turn it, Negrin ain't going to be the guy jumping up and controlling the ball and linking up. So, that's the problem that Celtic have put themselves in with the recruitment that they've had this season.
Is that the type of solution that might work better at Celtic Park? Yeah. If they've got a bit more possession. Yes. He does pick up clever little pockets in the box, doesn't he? Did he, that fateful night under Wilfred Nancy, and I know everything was kind of in the scrap heap at Fir Park. I think he played that as a false nine or whatever the term would be.
But they didn't have the ball that night.
Because Davies trying to find a solution, which obviously you have to do, but see, even if it was there and it does work, it would still sum up the challenge that we're that Celtic have. This is a season that actually, I think in the first game, Adam Ida led the line. John Joe Kenny's led the line. Kelechi Iheanacho's led the line. Daizen Maeda, Thomas Javanchera. We're now going to add Benjamin Negrin. There is one I've missed. I can't quite think Iheanacho. Who it is. No, I think I said Adamu. Him. Adamu started. You know, that just shows the
Osman.
I don't think he started a game, but you know, at some point. But in that one position, that might just sum up the issues Celtic have had.
Yeah, but at the same time, whereas Rangers have had guys playing up front, they haven't contributed lots of goals. Look at the number of goals Negrin has scored. What Rangers have done well is the goals have been spread around the team. But yeah, you're absolutely bang on the money there, Gordon. The amount of changes up front, it just reflects on the recruitment and how crucial that part of your team is to you.
Hugh Keevan's leading the line tomorrow. It's the only other alternative. Davey, thank you very much. 01419511025. Before we go any further, let me tell you about this.
The world's biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
I was thinking about putting you in for this world's biggest music quiz, Hugh, but if it's not Leonard Cohen or Joni Mitchell or maybe Van Morrison, you'd be struggling.
Any Tony Bennett question?
I can't promise that, but we never know. Put it to the test, because the world's biggest music quiz is coming. It's Cash for Kids Day, Thursday the 30th of April from 1 p.m. We're aiming to break a world record, and there are some brilliant prizes to be won as well. £10,000 to improve your home, £5,000 in cash. There's a lot in there, and you'll be helping make a life-changing difference to children living near you as well. We've got Ant and Dec involved as our hosts. I'm not going to ask you, Keevans, because
You've heard my opinion of them before.
He's the only person on this island that has a negative view of that award-winning duo. They'll be great on this quiz, Hugh Keevans.
Do you like Ant and Dec score?
Can you not? The job they've done over the years.
I just think they're two guys who you don't not like, you don't need
exactly.
to just
what?
But it's part of our television.
It's for the kids, Hugh.
I don't know anybody I don't like.
Park your cynicism. It's for the kids. Anyway, all you have to do to play is make a donation to Cash for Kids. It helps them continue to provide life-changing grants and support for young people living in Ayrshire and Glasgow and the West. So make your donation now at Clyde1.com/quiz, and we'll see you on Thursday, 30th of April from 1 p.m.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen's here, so is Hugh Keevans. Keep the calls coming in. Every caller who makes it on air into the hat for tickets to Ayr races, and we are all excited. It's always weird when Hugh Keevans is genuinely excited, because he's cynical about everything. But he's excited about the Premiership returning. So who are we to burst his bubble? John is on the line. How are you, John?
Very well. How are you doing, lads? Okay.
All good, John.
First
good.
First time, Gordon, phoning in, believe it or not.
Somebody must have annoyed you.
No, listen, I'm a Ravenscraig boy. I knew you stayed in Ravenscraig not that long ago. So I didn't speak back to you.
How's the local area since I've vacated? Is it still going well?
It is indeed, believe it or not. I'm just sitting up actually for the bus stop right at the front of the estate just to take the call, because I'm a wee bit annoyed with Hugh earlier on that.
Good.
I phoned in, Hugh, it's just a question. Obviously you get paid for being a pundit, and you've been a good pundit for many, many years. One of these years you're going to predict Celtic to win the league. I believe the last probably 15 years you've always predicted Rangers to win the league title, and maybe one year you'll get it right.
I would very much doubt that in the Martin O'Neill years, the first time around, or over the last 15 years, I certainly have not predicted Rangers every year.
Did you take Celtic at the start of this season?
I did, yeah.
You changed your mind quite quickly once you got a look at them.
Wouldn't you?
You were seeing Champions Elect very early on.
For Hearts. He was on Rangers. That has chopped and changed. I think you might have tipped him at the start of this season. But anyway,
there's no might about it. I did.
At the
carry on, John.
Thanks for letting us back in, lad. The reason for my call is Celtic's missing a lot of players this year. They've missing their right back. They've missed their main right back, obviously, Alistair Johnson. A good signing in the boy Araujo to fill his place, definitely. Obviously, Carter Vickers is missing, Jota's missing a few key players to the main team this year. I think Celtic's hung in really, really well this year. But how can MD predict, and I heard Hugh's comment earlier to say that Celtic have got no chance to win the league title this year. Is that exact words Hugh used? Is that
correct, yes.
How can you make that comment when you see the statics over the last few years that Celtic are a winning team that can get over the line on tough occasions, get over the line, and I believe that Celtic probably need to play Hearts and Rangers at Parkhead this year.
Yeah.
Probably one of the biggest venues in Scottish football that you can go to that's very hard to win. So how's the statics no turning to say Celtic's got a better chance than what Hugh's making out? Because Hugh's telling us we've no chance tonight, but as well throwing in the towel tonight, Hugh, the Mora. But as well no playing the Mora, because Hugh's got no chance.
John, do you understand the concept of this programme?
Of course I do.
I give you my view and you sit in a bus station and...
He's just pulled over at the side of the road.
And you contradict me. So, you know,
I think it's the language here is where the sticking point is, yes. Right? Are you saying no chance, inconceivable, no way Celtic could win this league?
Correct.
John, what chance would you put on it? I don't know, pick a word or a number, it's up to you, but how would you rate Celtic's chances?
I still think, out of the three teams, obviously they're 2 points behind Rangers, I get that. Out of the three teams, Hearts have been there before. If you remember, many years ago, the run they had, maybe 15 wins in a row at the very start of the league year. They couldn't see themselves out of the line. Who won the league title that year? I believe.
But you keep giving past years. Past years have nothing to do with this. We're isolating this season's title race. What percentage do you put on Celtic's chances?
Probably the same as... I probably put a 33% chance for the three teams. I think the two teams have still got to come to Parkhead. None of the two teams are going to come to Parkhead and walk over Celtic. You kidding me on?
Both done all right there this season though, haven't they?
Celtic haven't won any of the last 6 Old Firm derbies in the league, for example.
Listen, as you're saying, things have got to change because you've tipped Rangers to win the league this year.
No, I didn't. I started the season tipping Celtic.
So halfway through the season, or near the end of the season, you're now tapping Rangers to win the league.
That's because circumstances change. I mean, when Russell Martin was there, every Rangers supporter who called here said it was the worst Rangers team he'd ever seen. But circumstances change over the course of a 38-game season.
There might be something in what you're saying, John. Obviously, people are pointing to, we'll never know. You know, Callum McGregor's knows what it takes to win leagues and so on. But, you know, Hearts' failure to win it 15 years ago or whatever it was you said, that's not going to be relevant, is it? None of the same people are even involved.
Well, they've never really challenged for a title this year, have they? When was the last time they challenged for a title?
But what's that got to do with anything? I keep trying to bring you round to this season.
No, I think there's obviously a question there because we don't know. It is an unknown quantity. Do they have the mentality to see it over the line? I think that's valid.
Yeah, but
up to a point.
This argument about what happened in seasons gone by, it has no relevance whatsoever.
Well, it depends how far you're going back. I mean, because John, even at, you know, we've said this earlier this week, you're saying Celtic, you know what it takes. Do Celtic know what it takes to come from third place at the start of April? We don't really know that either, do we?
How many points are we behind now?
5.
What did we make it? How many points?
5.
5 points behind Hearts. How many games to go?
7.
So there's 21 points still to play for?
Yep.
surely you've got to give Celtic a chance when they've got two home games, one against Hearts and one against Rangers. Surely you've got to give them a slight chance.
Oh, it's only Hugh who's given them none whatsoever.
Rather no chance. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I hear it every year. I mean, I've listened to this programme for a long, long time, believe it or not, and I've heard the same every year. Now, I talk drivel for a living. That's what I do for a living. I talk to people for a living, and I get paid for that as well. The exact same as what I've heard tonight. And that's the first, probably, I've heard you for a long, long time saying that a team's got no chance and they're out it and they're only 5 points behind the leaders with seven games to go. There's been many a turnaround in Scottish football in the last 10 years based on that stat, is there no?
Of course, but
this also sees something that I do think gets missed a little bit, and I don't know how much this counts for, but we're talking about the team in third being 5 points behind. That is different from saying the team in second being 5 points behind.
Yeah,
I'm stating the obvious here. Two teams to overcome. That's why, because John's saying, I've never heard that before. I'm not sure we've been in this situation before where we've had three teams.
Not in my lifetime.
Where do you talk drivel?
Don't tell him, John, he'll turn up.
Oh, no, I know that. But what I'm saying is, how many points is Rangers behind Hearts this year? Three?
Yep.
So how can if Celtic beat, let's just say, in the off chance, Celtic beat Rangers at Parkhead, everybody wins their games up to Celtic playing Rangers at Parkhead. Celtic go above Rangers 1 point. Does that mean Rangers have no chance of winning the league?
John, we can hypothesise from now until 8 o'clock.
It doesn't work because you've got Celtic failing to win this weekend at Dens anyway.
Yeah.
So there we go. John, phone us back Monday if he gets that one right. That was John on the line at 01419511025.
I want to know where you get paid for talking dribble. So
well, you've got the cushiest gig on that front. In the land, so
only 40 years worth
of it. What are you saying? Chances hit. I don't know what I'm asking for people. I don't know if it's a number. I don't know if it's a word.
You want me to give a percent?
Aye, why not? John says 33. Like, all three teams have the exact same chance of winning it.
If Celtic don't win on Sunday, I think they're out of it.
But not already.
Not already, no.
Round and round we go.
Yeah.
0% chance, says Hugh Keevans. I'm looking forward to find out over the weekend. Keep the calls coming. Could we squeeze one more in before Beat the Pundit? Potentially. We need to be pretty sharp.
Somebody talks dribble
on 01419511025. Yeah, let's try and squeeze one more in if we can. We'll need to be really sharp with it though. Did I see Michael trying to get through? Perhaps maybe we could do that. But let's do it quickly before we play Beat the Pundit. And don't forget, every caller who makes it on air goes into the hat for the tickets to Air Races as well. And plenty more coming up in the second part of the show, because we're going to get round to the other teams involved. Derek McInnes, he'll be happy with the break, you would imagine, because it allows Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin to come back fitter, if you like.
And himself.
I'm sure he's getting some sun in his back. You would, wouldn't you, if he was had that time. But, you know, that's maybe going to be part of it. Who knows what impact that will have. Hearts, I know Hearts have stayed top. I know everyone's talking about Rangers can do it this weekend, but Hearts have stayed top all this time with those players out. Has to be some.
That was always a big thing for me. If Hearts could go into the split before Shankland and Devlin come back with a cushion, I think they'd be in a really good place.
Right, we'll make it snappy. We'll squeeze this in before Beat the Pundit. Michael's on the line. On you go, Michael.
Okay, thanks for putting me on. Hello, panel. No, I'm on here to agree with you. First of all, let me say about Ant and Dec. I would put these two in a desert island surrounded with sharks and crocodiles.
Oh my word.
You're a sound judge, Michael.
It's for Cash for Kids. They're doing the quiz for Cash for Kids. It's a lovely cause.
I know, but they're
don't do it. Not tonight. Right. For the kids.
They make half their money.
Oh my word. Michael, honestly though, you're Hugh Keevans, the only guy I know that doesn't like Ant and Dec, or apart from you, doesn't eat chocolate. This weekend's wasted on him.
Yep.
Doesn't drive.
Nope.
Doesn't have a smartphone. He just lives in his own lane. So don't be like him, Michael. But you're agreeing with him on what, football-wise?
I've got a Nokia phone as well.
Oh,
anyway.
Right,
now here we go. I think Celtic will win 2-1 on Sunday, but a difficult game. Having said that, to win seven games, I mean, you can't assume because we've got two games against Hearts and Rangers at home, we'll win them. You know what I mean? Because they're going to be two difficult games as well. The three teams have dropped points, and I was talking to my friend earlier on. He's a big Celtic fan like myself, and he said, and I know this doesn't sound good, but he said it might not be a bad thing if Celtic didn't win the league, because then if they do win the league, the board will sit back and do nothing as usual and just say, oh, well, we were writing off, shrugged their shoulders. If they don't win the league, it can force them into action next year. But that's my point.
Listen, it could be surely, even if Celtic were to get over the line, it has to be an interesting summer anyway, because the new manager permanently, they don't have a permanent chairman. Yeah. Is there going to be a structure of, whether it's director of football, sporting director, head of recruitment, whatever, there's a lot to sort out either way.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of football to be played before then. So thank you to Michael. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on down, it is Beat the Pundit time. Looking forward to this as well. Can you get the better of Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen and win yourself a signed ball or a coin? Are we three in a row for the listeners this week? I think we've racked up a few, so you've got the chance to pile on the pressure here. Give us your thoughts on Beat the Pundit before 7 o'clock, 0141 951 1025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are still here, so why not get in touch between now and 8 o'clock? Every caller who makes it through to the show into the hat for tickets to Ladies' Day at Ayr Races, and plenty to talk about otherwise, because there's a Premiership title race, I should say, about to resume tomorrow, and we cannot wait for it. It's been a low-key international break, but the rest of the season is going to be anything but. So keep the calls coming in. We'll hear from Danny Rule after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It is actually split. It is 2-2. For listeners and pundits this week. I thought the listeners went 3 in a row last night, I must admit, but there we go, it's 2-2. So that means the week is on the line. You actually were in on Tuesday and lost, didn't you?
I did, yeah. On a tiebreak, did I?
Yeah, I think maybe. And then Alex Ray lost Tuesday. Oh yeah, but did Brian win last? Yeah, Brian won last night. That was it. Ah, see, he stopped the rot. But anyway, the chance to win the week goes to Martin in Livingston. How are you, Martin?
Yeah, very well, Gordon. Thank you. What about yourself?
All good, thanks for asking. Have you ever played this before?
I have not, no.
Right, let's see what we've got then. Hugh Keevans will be your opponent if the coin lands blue. Scott Allen if it lands red. So let's see how we go. And it is red for Scott Allen up against Martin in Livingston. Right, what we do here, Martin, is give him something else to listen to. 30 seconds on the clock. You can pass if you want, and move on to the next one. That sound good?
Yeah, no worries.
Good man. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which year were Rangers last top of the Scottish Premiership?
2023.
Which English team did Stephen Robinson manage between St Mirren and Motherwell?
Oh, Scunthorpe.
Who was the Celtic manager when Dundee beat them 2-0 earlier this season?
Martin O'Neill.
Which former Rangers manager also managed Scotland's next friendly opponents, Curaçao?
Dick Advocaat.
Where do both play their home games?
Pass.
Okay, Scott Allen, can you hear us?
Yes.
30 seconds, same set of questions, and your time starts now. In which year were Rangers last top of the Scottish Premiership?
2023.
Which English team did Stephen Robinson manage between St Mirren and Motherwell?
Morecambe.
Who was the Celtic manager when Dundee beat them 2-0 earlier this season?
Brendan Rodgers.
Which former Rangers manager also managed Scotland's next friendly opponents, Curaçao?
Dick Advocaat.
Where do Arbroath play their home games?
Gayfield.
Which British rapper attended the first Old Firm game of 2026?
Stormzy.
Who?
We'll get to that. What was it Gordon Dale called him? Stormy. Stormy. Which is close, but like crucially not the right name. Martin, how do you think that went?
Nah, I think I got done with the Stephen Robinson one.
Yeah. And do you know what? Actually, I'll come clean, Martin. I tried to help you out a little bit. So as I was reading that quickly, the question number two that should have been on it, I scrubbed it out. I thought, I'm not giving that to Scott Allen. I'm sick of it being weighted in the pundit's favour. It was a League 2 question. You coach in League 2, you would have got it.
Did you get...
I had to take it off for Martin as well.
Right, okay. What was the question?
Which former Hearts and Hibs defender was sacked by Stirling Albion this week?
Alan Mayberry.
See, you just played them last week, didn't you?
Yes.
You put the nail in the coffin. And then I looked down and there's another Broth question in there as well. You used to play for them, but I couldn't take that one out. So, which year were Rangers last top of the Premiership? None of you got it. 2024. You both went 23. The English team Stephen Robinson managed between St Mirren and Motherwell was indeed Morecambe. 1-0 Scott Allen. The manager of Celtic when Dundee beat them earlier this season was Brendan Rodgers Martin. So it goes 2-0 to Scott Allen. You did get one on the board with Dick Advocaat. He also used to manage Curaçao, but Scott Allen got it as well. I would like to think he's still got that Arbroath contract pinned up in his wall somewhere. He knew where they played. Gayfield, 4-1 to Scott Allen. And Stormy, or Stormzy, whatever you want to call him, was at the first Old Firm game of 2026. So I'm afraid it was a pretty convincing one for Scott Allen in the end. Hard lines, Martin?
Nah, it's all good. Fair play, Scott.
Who's your team anyway?
Rangers.
Right, Hugh Keevans has got you winning the league, and probably means you've got no chance, because that's the way his predictions work. But what do you think?
That's what I hear. Oh, I don't know this season. It could go anyway at this point. So we'll just wait and see. We'll get another helicopter Sunday, hopefully, and it'll be insane.
But you fancy tomorrow going first, a home game against Dundee United. Do you think you will win that and go top for the first time since 2024?
I think so. But we've been here before, and I've thought so, and we went the other way. So I think so tomorrow, and then we'll just see how Sunday works out for the other two. So it'll be interesting.
Here's one for a bit of fun, if you can call it that. It's my idea of fun. There's a mystery man missing for Rangers tomorrow, Martin. Who's the last person you want that to be?
Oh, big Fernandez.
Okay, I can't argue. I don't know if there is a standout right answer. What would yours be, Scott Allen? What would be the most damaging player for Rangers to be without this weekend? Come on, pick one. Play my game.
Make him though.
Okay, yep, I like it.
I'm just, Fernandez, I listened to the programme at the start of the season. We had experts on talking about Fernandez. We had fans on, and he was ridiculed. I don't mean criticised. He was ridiculed. And now, for Martin, he's Rangers' most important player. That's the way life works. As the season goes on, circumstances change. That's why predictions change.
I think Rangers will sell him for big money, and then we'll get a Kevin Thelwell interview on his thoughts about some.
They will
the...
sell him for big money.
I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow. There is somebody missing. Martin hopes it's not Manuel Fernandez. You think Mikey Moore would be the most damaging? Is he the best creative spark Rangers have?
Yeah, for me, yeah. I just think when he isn't available to him, he's the one that can open doors. He's got that extra bit of stardust for me, so yeah. I completely understand as well with Fernandez, because obviously any good team, the foundations is your defence, and he's been outstanding since the turn of the year.
For an 18-year-old, is he still 18?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For an 18-year-old, he's the one that gets the stadium lit up.
Gets you excited when he's on the ball.
When he goes on the ball, the stadium rises to him.
What's impressed you about Fernandez, Martin? Because you didn't even hesitate there. You're obviously a big fan of the sort of impact he's having.
He's like a Boomsong kind of Amoruso figure, isn't he? He kind of looks, just strolls games. Almost, you do panic a bit sometimes that he's going to make a mistake, but I don't think he's Rangers' best player, but I think he'd be the hardest to replace. I mean, Mikey Moore as well, but I think with Fernandez, I just fear that a suitor Giga back to is not going to be good.
It should be more than enough though to handle one up front from Dundee United. I would imagine they'll have one up. They'll look to obviously get bodies behind the ball at times and counter attack. But for me, Mikey Moore, what I would say though, Fernandez has been outstanding. Composure for me, he was the most composed player in the last Rangers Celtic game for me. In all that atmosphere, he was stepping out with the ball. He was composed and defended when he had to. So for me, I really do believe that Rangers will sell him for big money.
Do you think Dundee United will be that guarded, given that they've got two games before the split, 6-point gap with Falkirk
away from home.
If they don't try to get something at Ibrox, then the Falkirk will be top six and they won't.
No, but that they'll see that as their best way. I feel they'll look for to try and suck Rangers into playing the straight balls, and then they'll look to counter.
Yeah, it's not because it's not as simple as not trying, is it? You just think that's the best way to do it. Just frustrate, maybe hang in there and go and get something. They've done well. I mean, was the Stevie Smith game, wasn't it? Was that the only game when Dundee United came to Ibrox earlier this season?
Was that Stevie Smith game?
Yeah, I think so. Let me double check.
It feels like a lifetime ago
when they got the point that day. Rangers have obviously been up to Tannadice as well. Martin, do you buy into this psychological side of it, or the statement, whatever you call it, if Rangers can go top even for a day?
I don't know. I really don't know. Psychology, it's a scary word when it comes to Rangers. Because I do worry that could be the downfall as well this season with those players, just because of their age and the fans at home especially.
I think it's another sign of how incredibly excitable people are becoming over this, you know.
But it's also adding anxiety to the home team.
Yeah, but
if Rangers go top, see that Ibrox over the last couple of weeks as well, the Aberdeen game.
If Rangers go top tomorrow, surely it is symbolic of the most remarkable transformation having taken place when they had to get rid of a manager after 123 days in the job. And at that point, the callers to this programme were talking about the worst Rangers team they had ever seen, and they wanted everybody out. They wanted the manager out, the chief executive out, the director of football out. Surely to go top tomorrow is symbolic of a positive transformation.
Yeah, thank you very much to Martin. Tried but couldn't get past Scott Allen on Beat the Pundit, which means the pundits take it for this week. But close, 3-2, quite like that ratio. That's at least a hard fight. You're happy with that?
Where did that finish?
That was quite convincing. 4-5-1 maybe.
I've had a few hard ones recently as well.
And even I tried to do you out of, because you would have gotten Alan Mabry if I'd left that question in. So, in fact, did you get them all right? Oh no, you didn't get the Premiership.
Yeah. No, I didn't get.
I said earlier in the programme, 2 years. See,
I still thought it was too far.
Listen to your granddad.
Thanks again to Martin. What about Derek in Kirkdonald? How's it going, Derek?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
What are you thinking?
My point is to you is there a specific age where I always watch the clip when Scott and you are watching the Denmark game, and I watch the amount of calories that Scott puts into that performance against you. And I'm 62 now. I don't get off my chair anymore, but I still have the hand movements. I don't have the grasping of my earphones off. I was just wondering at what stage of your life that you actually went to sort of that peripatetic sort of just watching it glaze.
It's a good question because it takes a lot to move you.
I'll have to give you the dull but accurate answer. If you spend a lifetime, professional lifetime, reporting on football matches and you're at the match, you can't jump about. You have to be careful. You have to watch it. You have to write your copy as the game is going on.
Not nice like that.
Anyway, I'm 14.
I'm 14.
I'm 14 years older than Derek on the line.
So he's asking. Derek wants to know at which point can you just not be bothered.
It's not a case of not being bothered.
Inside, you felt it though, didn't you?
Yeah. You've got to think of your next sentence and what this incident means to the game and so forth. It's a professional hazard, if you want to call it that, Derek. You can't jump up and down and use your laptop in a football press box.
Let your hair down, man. You don't have a laptop in here.
It's not a case of letting your hair down. It's a case of being
even this. You're taking this conversation way more seriously than it needs to be.
We got to a World Cup.
Have you ever seen, there is a clip from the first Euros we did live shows from Drygate, and obviously there wasn't loads to celebrate that tournament, but when Callum McGregor scored against Croatia,
yeah,
exactly. In that live, we're in a kind of pub environment, and everybody jumps up, and he barely blinks. he sits with his arms folded.
But listen, Derek, I have to applaud your use of the word peripatetic.
Yeah, I love that, Derek.
That was different class.
That was top draw. What does it mean again?
It means you're sort of not paralysed as such, but your movement is very limited.
I like that. You've educated us, Derek. What about your...
He is from Kildonald. Is
that where all the... Is that where... Is there a high education level? Sure is that where you were educated?
Yes.
You and Andy Halliday, Kildonald
Primary. Yeah, we were
Kildonald
Primary, yeah.
Don't know where it went wrong for they two, Derek. I must admit. But what are you thinking about your team then at the moment?
I'm actually so happy with it. I'm a Rangers fan, but I'm delighted the way it's progressing. I'm looking at those signings that they made. Two of them turned 23 in March. One of them turns 23 in June. If Scott Wilson turns it round, which I don't think he will, he doesn't turn 27 until January. You've got your Manny Fernandez. For some inexplicable reason, Gassama's apparently been quoted as a price. Kermiti's been quoted at a price. So you can see that there is value in Rangers that was not there. It just didn't exist.
Derek, when you see Andreas Skov Olsen, do you think peripatetic?
Slightly more animated than that. Sort of
animated enough for £9 million?
No.
Certainly not. No.
He's meant to have benefited from the train, you know, because he was injured before, wasn't he? I think he is back for this weekend, according to Danny Rule. And a name that Derek threw in there, we're talking about the way Mikey Moore was perceived previously compared to now, the way Manny Fernandez was perceived previously compared to now. How is it the only guy that's gone the other way is Gassama? You know, when Derek mentioned him, remember that?
Yeah.
He was apparently the only positive for a bit of the summer recruitment, the only shining light. I don't even think you need to be too hard on him now, but I just mean in comparison to the, it's funny that, season. Isn't it? How things have changed.
Because he was the only one that was producing at the start of the season and showing flashes. It was, I seen Gassama was showing flashes. It wasn't as if he was giving 90-minute performances. But at the same time, he is still decent age. There's a lot to learn. But what helps Rangers is the team's actually improved. That was the most important thing.
Said it to the previous caller, Derek. It is a pointless exercise. I'm worried that you might shoot it down because you're a bit like Hugh and you know you're not bothered by these things, but if this mystery man who's injured for Rangers tomorrow, who's the last person you want it to be, who's the most important player for you at the moment?
To be quite truthful, I'm not particularly worried. I don't think there's a particular linchpin.
I knew it, Derek. Just give me a name, come on.
You would want me to say Mikey Moore, but no, I'm I was actually on the show regarding backing Danny Rule up for his decision at Motherwell to play for the draw, and Mikey Moore that night was absolutely horrendous, but he was one of the holy trinity of Scottish football at the time. Martin O'Neill, the manager, Motherwell manager Bertou, and Mikey Moore. There was just no criticism available for any of these people. No matter, Motherwell were still pushing for the title. They were at home and they couldn't beat what's perceived as one of the worst Rangers teams ever. Yet he get no criticism whatsoever.
Hey, 10 so men, Derek, can pass you off the park. Come on.
I only look at the result at the end of the day.
That's boring. What's the point watching the game then? Just check the score at full time. There's the fun in that.
Because I might end up with Scott Allen. I would end up being a wraith-like figure with nothing left of me. I'm no 30 odd anymore.
You need to watch the game. You can't just check the score at full time.
So you can do it.
So you're giving this Mikey Moore then?
Nah, in there was Mikey Moore. But anyway, I enjoyed Derek. Derek's my type of caller. He's definitely Hugh's type of caller. That was Derek in Kildonald on 01419511025. Good time to call, and we'll get you on next. Clyde One.
You say that word again? Peripatetic.
Hugh Keevans is still repeating the word, he loves it so much. Do you know what's even better than that? Here is the moment that single mum Jen, I should say, from our broth. I'm a bit thrown off here by the sums of money we're talking about. £750,000. Listen to this.
I'll buy a house for us. I can treat my girls as how I want to without having to think what's in the bank.
Yeah. I don't want to worry about what's in the bank. God. £750,000 and next week. the money goes up again. 760,000. Hey, Derek and Kirkdonald, would you get off your chair for that? 760,000 to enter. Text yes to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will also find all the rules for this network competition. Or you can call 03 434 269 340, and the calls are charged at your standard network rate. It is over 18s only. Derek and Hugh are definitely above it, and the lines close at 5pm next Friday. Just answer your phone. The £760,000 would be yours straight into your bank account after the call. Text yes to 61025. Good luck.
Clyde 1 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here at 01419511025. Tweet us at Clyde SSB if you're that way inclined. We've got a big weekend to build up to. This, of course, though, this was meant to be the weekend. You've had this in your diary since the first weekend in December. You reached into your pocket, you pulled out £1,000 in cash, handed it over to Cash for Kids for a meet and greet with Scott Brown.
Yeah.
And you said, Partick Thistle game, 4th of April, I'll go. We've mentioned it every week, and I don't mean to laugh at another man's misfortune, but of course he lost his job on the week that you were supposed to go.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I know.
How do you do it?
I don't know, really. It's a strange talent to have. But listen, Alec Ray, I gave the package to Alec Ray, and he's giving it to a member of his family.
There you go.
And the other thing I want to say, I did it in memory of my late brother, and I'm glad I did it on behalf of my other brother and myself. And the kids get £1,000. That's all that matters.
Exactly. It's can't really laugh at you when you've done it for such a good cause, but it is quite funny. Somewhere in there, it is quite funny.
I think we need to vet the person who's coming.
I just wonder how Bruni feels about it, because
so you think like he's actually more upset at missing the meet and greet with you than he is about losing his job.
Well, how does it look though, like that Scott Brown's lost his job and then you've now, you don't want to do the meet and greet anymore?
Well, I mean no disrespect to John Rankin, someone I like very much indeed,
but he's only worth 750.
Well, around that vicinity. But I just wonder if Bruni thinks, has he plotted against me? Has he conspired?
There is every chance. 01419511025. It is not just the Premiership tomorrow as well, because as we mentioned there, Ayr Partick Thistle, is there any sort of new manager bounce for Ayr? Can the Jags keep their running going? If the pressure's starting to bite St Johnstone a bit, you wouldn't want to go to Gayfield under these conditions. So we'll see how that plays out tomorrow. Let me give you your teaser first.
The full time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, good question this. It's a recent memory test, so you don't have to go back too far. From Paul in Strathblane, who says, can you name the 8 goal scorers this season who've scored the latest goal for an Old Firm team in a league game that they've won? So the 8 goal scorers this season who've scored the latest goals, so the 8 latest goals for an Old Firm team in a league game that team won, though, crucially.
I'll give you 2 off the top of my head.
All right, show off.
Callum McGregor at Paisley.
Correct, 90 plus 5 minutes.
Julian Araujo at Rugby Park.
Well done, 97.
Adamu. Dundee.
Cup.
Oh, so it has to be in the 90 minutes?
No, it was in the cup. I said the league game.
Oh, did you saw it?
Technicality. Thanks as always to our sponsors, Arcaplan Glasgow as well. It was Paul and Strathblane who sent the question. If you like the idea, you think you could, you think you've got it in your locker, maybe this Easter weekend you've got a bit of time, why not come up with a question? Send it into fulltime@clyde1.com and test out the pundits. I'll take one more guess from you. Callum McGregor,
Tenekte,
Julian Araujo. Which game?
I don't know.
No. I should have just said no straight away. He scored, I mean, I don't even know what goal you're thinking of there. He started the comeback at Killy, didn't he?
Yeah.
But no, not him. Okay, I'll give you some more thinking time. You flew out the traps there with Araujo and McGregor. I thought you were going to be onto something, but still a few more to get. What I would say is to bear in mind, I don't know if this helps you at all, there are some in there. It doesn't have to be the winner. Yeah? Do you see what I mean? So it's the latest goal in a game that that team won. So it could be the fourth in a 4-0 or the third in a 3-0.
Oh, right. Negrin.
No. Didn't help you at all, did it? Right, anyway, let's go back to Ben. Oh, Ben's a Hearts fan. Good. Ben, I know you've got a couple of different... I know you've got maybe a wee Scotland point to make, but let me throw league stuff on you if you don't mind. How are you feeling? The league leaders... Maybe that changes tomorrow afternoon. Does that bother you, or is that just the way the schedule works?
Hi guys, thanks for taking my call. I think obviously we've spoken about the disadvantage of the teams that are playing last and on the Sunday. Mm-hmm. So it's always nervous, especially if Rangers get the result on Saturday, the pressure goes on to us and Celtic. But having that full squad back is going to be our biggest advantage. I mean, this is the first time, with the exception of Milne, but at least Kingsley's back there to replace him, whereas with the two of them out previously. So we've got our full squad back. Four of our five results that we've lost this season have came pretty much at the turn of the year after we had all the injuries. We're now back to full strength, so I'm hoping we can just revert back to how we were in the lead up from August to Christmas, where we were pretty much unstoppable.
I think that can make the difference, Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin, because they came back before the break, of course, but in many ways that's like the perfect way to do it. They got some minutes in a game that you won. They've now had time to train. I'm not 100%. There would probably be... Was there a bounce game in there? Usually there was a bounce game. Do something like that. Think that can be the difference, Ben?
100%. I think the difference between us and Rangers and Celtic in this title fight is we have a goal scorer. We have two, actually. Yeah. If you look at Braga and his stats as well, but especially the way that Shanklin leads the line, and you noticed it with the 30 minutes he came on, we were, you know, the game totally changed against Dundee. That actually brings me on to my main reason for phoning tonight. To be fair, I know we've kind of turned attention to domestic because it's closing in the weekend, but I was listening to the show all week and guys talking about the Scotland squad. Now, I appreciate why he wouldn't have been involved for this doubleheader and just came back from injury, but I just find it baffling to talk about how everyone for decades has spoke about the area, the part we lack in with Scotland, is finding a number nine, finding a goal scorer. We've never had that pretty much my whole lifetime. Our midfield's incredible, fullbacks are great. We have somebody who has 100 more career goals than Lyndon Dykes, 50 more career goals than Che Adams, the same age. He's the captain of the team, top of our home nation. And I wouldn't put it past him being third or fourth in the pecking order when we go to America. Mm-hmm. Same as it was in the season 23-24 when Lauren Shanklin bagged 30 or 31 goals and he came on for about 20 minutes in Germany. I just cannot get my head around it. He's had four international starts whilst Lyndon Dykes is getting congratulated for his 50th cap. Lyndon Dykes plays with the team in 18th in League One in England. Lauren Shanklin would be on 20 plus goals had he not been out for the last 8 weeks in our home nation, league leaders wearing the captain's armband. It's not even a question. I don't get it. I was really impressed by Hurst on his performance on Tuesday, and he's kind of just breaking onto the scene. We know what we're going to get from Adams.
But what impressed you with Hurst?
I just thought he was physical. He was involved. There were a couple of chances he kind of snatched that, but I think that, you know, it's a friendly, it's not the end of the world, but he was involved, he was everywhere, he looked a threat. You know, I was impressed with Hurst. I thought he was one of the kind of standouts on Tuesday.
Yeah, we've had a lot of calls agreeing with that this week. See, to be fair though, right, you make a great case for Lauren Shanklin. I think we all like Lauren Shanklin. I think we would we'd back Lauren Shanklin to play, or certainly play a big part. Yeah. But see, when people make those comments, Ben, are they not trying to say that even as good as Lauren Shankland is, the Scotland squad still lacks like a top international striker? Is that not really what they mean? They talk about McTominay and McGinn and all that stuff, and then Andy Robertson. Is that not really what they mean? Even if Lauren Shankland is better than Dykes and Adams and whoever else, we don't have a striker that plays at the level that some of our midfielders play at, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, our world-class players are probably McTominay and possibly McGinn, who's captain in top five, top six side in the Premier League.
Yeah, but even below world-class though, right, you still get like Ryan Christie, who's a proper English Premier League midfielder. You know, the career Andy Robertson's had, there was a spell under Steve Clarke where people considered Kieran Tierney at a sort of similar level. You know, whether it's Lauren Shankland or whether it's Lyndon Dykes or whether it's Shea Adams, none of them operate at that level, do they?
I'm under no illusion that any of them operate at that same top class level, but you can only pick from what you've got. Look at that, take that Haiti game for example. We need to win that game or we may as well pack our bags to go up the road. If we don't win that game, there is not a chance we are getting through. We need to win the game. To win the game, you need to score goals. I could guarantee Lauren Shanklin will not start that game. We need to win that game, in my opinion, by two or three goals to have at least a decent goal difference, you know, kind of before we play Morocco and Brazil, we need.
He's the best finisher out of the three you name there. There's no getting away from that. And if you're going to play Haiti a World Cup, and you would expect Scotland to have most of the possession, then Lauren Shankland, if he stays fit, has got to play.
I share Ben's mystification where Lyndon Dykes is concerned. The fact that he has 50 caps for Scotland says more about us than Lyndon Dykes. I'd always take my chances along with Ben. You have to win the Haiti game. And Ben, use my phrase, not a chance of progression if we don't beat Haiti. And I would like to take my chances with a guy that scores goals rather than somebody who puts himself about, to use the expression, without doing anything.
Chases empty crisp packets.
Pardon?
Chases empty crisp packets.
Yeah. But over the piece, though, what those guys have done is facilitated the goal scoring of Scott McTominay and John McGinn, though. You know, we can't be... And I'm the same as everybody else. I watched it the other day. It's not like I thought it was great, but I don't think we can be sort of too clever or too dismissive of the 50 caps. What's to say that those guys didn't play in a way that helped the team allow Scott McTominay to score or John McGinn to score?
I think what Ben's asking for, and the fans are asking for, is a little more sense of adventure. And that would mean having a Lauren Shankland there to see if he can get a goal.
Your best finisher.
Yeah.
Can I jump back on that?
Of course you can.
What I was going to say, so I'm not even saying this from a Hearts bias, because so you take like the Halkett and Milne, I know that we spoke about, but it matters not, because you've got quality guys in a position, your Tierneys, your Robertsons, good centre-half, so it matters not at the end of the day, because when we go there, we should know our pretty much starting 11. The thing that we've spoke about, Lyndon Dykes hit his 50th cap, right? Lauren Shankland's had 4 international starts. Lyndon Dykes only has 11 goals to his name in a Scotland shirt. If you gave Lauren Shankland those 50 caps, he would have double that.
No, I think you've got to take context in that Shanks didn't have a great season last year. Season before, he was excellent. He went abroad and it didn't go as well as he'd wanted to. But I'm totally with you this season. I think when you've got a striker full of confidence, if Hearts then go on to win the league, then you're into the World Cup and you're firing. You have to play that opening game. There's no getting away from that.
Why are we counting Lyndon Dykes total caps but Lauren Shankland starts? Is there a reason for that?
So I get your point, but what I'm trying to say is we need to win this first game. I know Lauren Shankland won't start. Clark's shown that it's your Dykes and Adams every time, every campaign we go to. Shankland will probably get brought on if it's 0-0 and we need a goal with 20 minutes to go and it's too late by that point. It looks like it's heading the same story as we had in Germany. We've got someone, and the best part about seeing Lauren Shankland, I'm only actually pitching about his goals here.
Link-up plays excellent.
He beat me to it there.
His link-up plays so good, isn't it?
His link-up play is better than Lyndon Dykes.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, look, and I get there is a cynicism because managers have got their reasons and have got their favourites and whatever, but there will be an element of this where there's still stuff Lauren Shankland can do to impact this. He's got the next couple of weeks, he's got the next couple of months. Go and score 6 goals, fire Hearts to the title. I know people say, I'll pick Lyndon Dykes anyway, but it makes the decision harder. Yeah, but Lauren Shankland's been out for the last couple of months. Yeah. So let's see how he comes back before we
just need to keep shouting for Shankland, all of us.
But what I'm saying is, let's see how he comes back and how he finishes the season before we get too upset about something that hasn't happened yet. That just seems like good sense.
Oh, you're far too logical for me.
If he can fire Hearts to the league, whatever the noise is for him to start the games now, it'll go up. It'll go through the roof. So Ben might get his way. So thank you very much to Ben on the line as a Hearts fan. And I like that from Ben, though. He's looking ahead.
Yeah,
forget whether Hearts win the league, he's looking beyond. Let's see what comes out this weekend first and foremost.
I've got another one.
Oh, right, so the teaser, 8 goal scorers this season who've scored the latest goal for an Old Firm team in a league game that they've won. Aroko, McGregor,
Max Aarons, Livingston Rangers.
Yes, 94, well done.
Russell Martin's time.
Silence. We'll get the rest, hopefully, when we return. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. We're going to get the answers to the teaser. We'll take some more calls if we've got time as well. But very quickly, just want to maybe get lined up for the Easter week, couple of weeks that you've got coming up. If you're stuck for something to do, the Scottish Football Museum at Barclays Hampden is the perfect day out for the family. Go for a stadium tour, see the dressing rooms and the pitch. You can look around the museum. There was even a wee Clyde One phone in bit back in the day. Yeah. I'm going to check if it's still there. There are thousands of objects on display though. The original Scottish Cup, the world's oldest national football trophy. You can stop for lunch in the cafe. I can vouch for the cafe. I spend way more time in there than anyone should. It's just one of the things that an occupational hazard, you could call it. So you'll get well fed and watered as well. And right now, if you go to Clyde1.com, we've got the chance to win a free school trip for your kids' class to the Scottish Football Museum at Barclays Hampden. So why not head over and check that out at Clyde1.com. Right, what else are you looking forward to tomorrow? Stephen Robinson back in Paisley.
Yeah.
What are you thinking there?
I mean, there's a slightly humorous side and there's a very serious side to that.
Go humorous first then.
Well, he won the Premier Sports Cup for St Mirren against Celtic in December, and he will get dog's abuse tomorrow.
I think he will, because he was saying today, I would like to think three top six finishes in a row and a cup entitles you to a good reception.
There's a real admiration on both parts, but see, for the 90 minutes there'll be boos and you get a wee bit of abuse. That just comes with the territory.
In light of all those achievements that we mentioned,
was it Tony Watt who said that don't boo him during the match but boo him at
Stephen O'Donnell? He had it very planned out. He wanted boos for the 90 minutes and then cheers afterwards. He wanted a very distinct line.
It's a bit of nil Aberdeen 3 and you're cheering
exactly.
him off.
Exactly, there's the problem. He's not thought that one through. You know, I think a lot of St Mirren fans won't even go as far as to boo him during the game just because of what everything he's achieved.
Depending on the progress of the game. You know, if Aberdeen are wiping the floor with St Mirren, although the last time Aberdeen wiped the floor with anyone, Sir Alex was the manager. But you can hardly expect them to take it all in a philosophical way. I just think that's the way of the world in football. I mean, he used to be our manager, now he's their manager. Boo him.
And Hugh then alluded to the serious side. The jeopardy involved there about, you know, where they are in the league, the fact that Aberdeen were, and we praised Rangers, it's not to take anything away, but they were terrible, weren't they, that night at Ibrox, which maybe got overlooked because we were focused on what it did for Rangers' title challenge. You look at just how precarious that part of the league is, the fact that he's gone early on the criticism of the players as well.
And he also referenced them. The home truth should have been before he was even in the door. I think looking at their away form is absolutely horrendous. I know they scored the goal at Rangers, but they hadn't scored for match upon match. That is a real difficult game for Aberdeen. And I think Stephen Robinson will know that they'll have to be on it to come away with something. And at the same time, the St Mirren players against your old manager, Craig McLeish as well, you have that incentive. There's no getting away from that. Yes, you won the cup with them, but at the same time, there'll be players who maybe didn't play under them who want to get a win for St Mirren. So it's a really difficult game for Aberdeen, and if they were to lose that to St Mirren, as I say, I do think they'll end up in that relegation spot.
Aberdeen Football Club have never been relegated in their history. This is I'll use the expression, a once proud club, because they don't win enough now to be considered a big club for
me. They were proud in May, which isn't that long ago.
But that was their one cup, one Scottish cup in 35 years. I remember Aberdeen having to play Dunfermline to stay in the top flight. Roy Aitken was the Aberdeen manager. Now, the tension was unbelievable. But Aberdeen beat Dunfermline and stayed in the division. Now they, you know, if they lose at St Mirren tomorrow, they are in it. Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Aberdeen, they're in the three-way dogfight.
Because obviously St Mirren made their own choice during the break as well to keep the interim manager in until the end of the season. So we didn't have long really. I think there were good signs. They beat Falkirk, which was a great result. There wasn't really much to take away from the Rangers game. So, big opportunity and big risk. There's always big risk. That's not necessarily aimed at him personally.
Yeah, but I think it's a calculated risk. I think obviously when they have that familiarity with someone who's been in the building and knows the players, I do think it can sometimes just get you over the line. And I think that's the way St Mirren will be looking at it. At the same time, as I say, that added incentive from players and staff to then go and get one over on their former manager, who has left them in that precarious position that they're in, and then to come back to St Mirren to try and overcome it. It's going to be a really fascinating one. That they'll get away from it. That's a huge game for both sides, and I think Kilmarnock away at Hibs as well. Obviously, off the back of that 2-0 win at Livingston, Hibs need a win. Hibs need a performance. Livingston at home 0-0, Motherwell away 0-0. Hibs fans are looking for a wee bit more.
Loads of other games to get stuck into tomorrow as well. Motherwell against Falkirk. Falkirk have done well. Were they the last team to win at Fir Park?
2-1.
I think they were, and that's a long time ago. And then did a really good tactical job on them in Falkirk. John McGlynn totally ripped it up, changed personnel, shape, tactics, because, you know, he's tactically very astute as well. Yeah. They drew the game 0-0 that night. So that's a fascinating one at Fir Park.
Yeah. John McGlynn, unbelievable job. He would want top six. He's only human. He's got an ego like every one of us, and he would want top six. And a draw tomorrow gets him top six.
Yeah, it'll be top six.
And I'm not sure he'll get it tomorrow. I think Motherwell might get their first win over Falkirk.
So the reminders of the permutations, they might not need anything anyway if Dundee United don't win it.
I think that's the way it'll work. Rangers will win and Motherwell will win, but Falkirk will gain top six.
It should be a good game though, because like we said, John McGlynn, it was a really impressive game.
I watched that game.
Job that night where, you know, just kind of
restricted them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And I think you would expect more of the same tomorrow. I think that first game you speak about for part for the first half, Motherwell absolutely battered Falkirk that day.
But again, that was sort of, that was even in a sense impressive for Falkirk, because it was rampant for Motherwell that first half.
And then Falkirk matched up man for man second half.
Took the chance and win the game.
Did we mention Hibs Kilmarnock?
I mean, you can if you want.
I did about a minute and a half ago.
Well, it was a passing mention.
But I met Neil McCann at Hampden last weekend. We had a chat about him being back in management, and I've rarely seen a man who was so grateful to be back in. He just wanted to be back in. Him and Billy Dodds have done a terrific job at Kelly. And, you know, for me, Hibs are a bit wishy-washy. I think Kelly can get a point there.
Hibs have got more points this season than they had, which got them third last year.
At this stage,
yeah.
Is that right? Doesn't account for where Hearts are this season,
does it? And that's what you're up against, yeah.
Kilmarnock now with Scotland international Finlay Curtis in their ranks as he became over the break. You think they look better equipped to get out of this picture at the bottom?
Yeah, out of the three sides, I think they've been the ones who have impressed me the most, especially because when Neil McCann came in, you're looking at them and they just didn't look like they had any cutting edge. They now do have that. A few astute signings as well, and better at the back. Obviously, off the back of that clean sheet and two goals at Livy, I think that definitely helps going into the Hibs game. And as I says, Hibs haven't really been hitting the highs I think the Hibs fans expect.
You might be worried about Martin Boyle. That's the only concern, you know, because he's watching the clock tick down on his Hibs career, and he's been a sensational player for Hibs.
Yeah.
And you know, he'll want to finish the season in as big a high as possible. So he's Neil McCann's biggest problem tomorrow.
Let's hear from Danny Rule on the title race before we go. These are his thoughts heading into the weekend.
Yeah, Chandler, well, I'm happy. I feel really good because I see my group at the moment. I see also the development. I think we are mentally strong. Even I think you go away, we took the win against St Mirren. Pressure was on after two draws, but we come back. Then we make a really good performance, a nice performance against Aberdeen. We used the chance, and it gives me a lot of belief. There's no doubt my group is strong, convinced, and we have the quality to win the league.
Again, you talk about transformation. He came in, Hearts were 13 points ahead of Rangers. Tomorrow, Rangers could, and I think will, go top of the league.
Let's find out how you're getting on with this teaser to round us off, though. Can you name the 8 goal scorers this season who scored the latest goal for an Old Firm team in a league game they won? Arojo at Kilmarnock, McGregor at St Mirren, Max Aarons at Livy. Doesn't need to be the winner, remember,
no,
which is hard.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain against Libby?
Only 90 plus one on the clock that night. It's not late enough. Do you know what the problem is? The rest are not winners. One of them was start of the season, Celtic down at Killie. You might have heard about the refereeing decision.
Ian Atcho.
Yeah, penalty, 96. Right, the others are harder because they're like the fourth and a 4-0, the third and a 3-0. I think that's really hard to remember. What about the most recent set of fixtures? Quickly, talk me through them. Before the break, what do we have?
Celtic lost at time.
Right, so that can't count. What did Rangers do?
Rangers Tavernier.
Right, well done. Free kick, 96 minutes on the clock. Right, the next three are really tough because they're just rounding off comprehensive wins. I think you would struggle to get them. Rangers beat Dundee 3-0 on the 25th of January. Who scored right at the death?
Mikey Moore.
No, but I'll give you him because he scored against Kilmarnock. It was
Miovski,
Jerry Gassama. When Celtic, this might feel like a long time ago for the Celtic fans, a 4-0 win against Kilmarnock. Remember the last goal scorer? Why would you? That's tough.
Tony Kenny.
Arne Engels. Never mind. Okay, thank you, Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans. Rest up because the Premiership is back. It's going to be an unmissable weekend in what's already been an unmissable season. So make sure you're here with us 2 o'clock tomorrow as we get it all kick-started again after the international break. And stay right there in the meantime because the GBX is up next.